Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
As we've been mentioning earlier, Gardaí investigating the disappearance of Deirdre Jacob and other women who went missing in the province here over 20 years ago are beginning a search at a site here in the county today. It's a search of dense woodland. Let's find out more now because we're joined by Inspector John Fitzgerald of Kildare Gardaí Station. Good morning, Inspector Fitzgerald.
Good morning, Clem.
Thank you for joining us this morning. So can you tell us then, give us some details, and we understand, of course, the sensitivities and operational requirements of this, but what can you tell us about what's happening today and where?
Yeah, Clem, so as you know, there was a review in relation to the murder of, the abduction and murder of Deirdre Jacob took place about 3 years ago. And during the course of that review, information came to light in relation to unusual activity in or around the wooded area down near Usk in South Kildare, which would have corresponded with the timeline where Deirdre had gone missing. So on that basis, we've conducted a survey of the site there, the wooded area concerned, and we've decided that it's prudent at this stage to move into a full search operation this morning. So we've engaged with our colleagues from the Garda National Technical Bureau, who will be on site this morning. We also have the divisional search team from Kildare and Leash Offaly, who will be working this search for the next, we anticipate it's going to take up to 20 days to get done. And we've also engaged the services of a forensic archaeologist, Dr. Niamh McCullough, who is providing the degree of expertise that we're reliant on to ensure that if there is evidence here, that we will locate it, you know.
Where, can you give us a picture, a geographical fix, or I suppose a position in regards to where this area is, John?
Yeah, so I suppose the closest landmark would be Walls of Kilgowan, the Priory restaurant involved there. So it would be about a kilometre in country from there, you know. So it would be bordering on the Kildare-Wicklow border, and so it's quite isolated, quite a nice part of the country, but it is quite isolated there, you know. And I suppose the woodland concerned would have been accessible by road 20 years ago. It's no longer accessible that way at this stage, you know. But so I suppose we've had great cooperation from the public in terms of permitting us access to the woodland, and that we're very appreciative of that.
Now, Deirdre Jacob went missing near her home all of 23 years ago, one of at least six women who disappeared without trace in the east of the county, in the east of the country, back in the 1990s. And, of course, that was on the 28th of July, 1998. Georgia Dullard, her investigation was also upgraded to murder earlier this year. She went missing from Moon, very nearby, John, in 1995.
Yeah, I suppose this information came out of the Deirdre Jacob investigation. We're conscious, it's always in the back of our minds that Jojo Dollard went missing from Moon, which is about 8 or 9 kilometres from the site. So in the back of the minds of the search team to be aware of any evidence that may be there in relation to the disappearance of Jojo as well. But I suppose just to be specific, the information came out of the Deirdre Jacob investigation.
Right. I know that Larry Murphy is deemed to be a prime suspect in the case. I know we won't want to go into speculate on that this morning because this is a very difficult time for the families. I presume that all the families in question are being advised on an ongoing basis, John, are they?
Yeah, I'm not going to speculate in relation to suspects right now.
Yeah.
What I would say is that I have been engaging with the Jacob family. They're aware that this is taking place. And, you know, we obviously have an excellent relationship with them. And, you know, they're motivating us to do our best to try and locate Deirdre, you know. So they're very much in our thoughts this morning, and we're going to do our best to do a good job here, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, we have Deirdre's dad here in the studio every year for that long time. The pain for the families over decades and whatever else, and everybody will wish the very best in terms of the getting some closure for what happens, what has happened to their nearest and dearest over those years. John, wouldn't just maybe final point, that this area, how extensive is it and how difficult is the terrain in terms of carrying out the search that you're going to carry out?
Yeah, so Clem, like, we're talking about approximately a 3.5 to 4 acre area of woodland. It's a difficult terrain to get in at. It's going to be a difficult excavation, and I suppose that's why we've engaged Dr. McCullough to assist us in this regard in terms of her expertise. Dr. McCullough has worked in terms of finding clandestine graves in the past and that. So if we needed to go internationally to get an expert, we would, Clem, but we don't. We have the expertise here to deal with this, you know.
Right.
So that's where we're at, you know. So, look, it's going to be difficult, but the guys and girls are prepared for it, and we're going to do a good job, you know.
We wish you well, and we can only wish you success, and that the pain of those families over decades will end sooner rather than later. And I suppose, John, one final word it's necessary to put out there, that members of the public shouldn't be, you know, approach the scene or try to gain any kind of access or whatever else, whether out of curiosity or anything else, because I imagine it will only impinge your operations.
Yeah, absolutely, Sam. That goes without saying, you know.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Gardaí Inspector John Fitzgerald of Kildare Garda Station, as Gardaí carry out those searches with the support of all the divisional units that he's talked about. And I understand that the Defence Forces are also on standby should they be needed. No expectation that we'll find anything in the short term, because as John estimates, it could take up to 20 days to search what is an extensive area of woodland. But we all keep our fingers crossed for the families concerned. Inspector John Fitzgerald, John, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Clem. Good morning. Bye-bye.
And good morning to you. Okay, indeed, what pain for those families across those years. And it's not, as I said, just the Jacob family or the Dullard family, there's the Annie McCarrick family and other women who have gone missing over the years as well. And we'll keep our fingers crossed, and no doubt we'll keep on top of that story as much as we can as well. Changing tack completely, SIPTA General Secretary Joe Cunningham says the report of the Pensions Commission has vindicated the union's campaign against the increase of the state pension to 67 years from the 1st of January of this year. Indeed, this report by the Pensions Commission, employers will not be allowed to force people to retire before the state pension age, according to one of the recommendations in this report. It's one of a number of proposals made by the Pensions Commission, which was tasked with examining issues around the state pension age and its funding after the issue emerged as one of concern amongst voters in the last election. Asked how calls from backbench TDs for a €10 rise in the state pension in the budget tomorrow could be justified given the pressure on the social the insurance fund from which state pensions are paid, was the Minister Heather Humphrey said, "We have said that if the cost of living has gone up and the cost of fuel, that's something we're certainly taking into consideration." The report also recommended allowing people to increase their payments by voluntarily deferring their pension until age of 70 at the latest. 10 of the 11 Commission members backed this central recommendation to freeze the state pension age at 66 until 2028. It would then rise by 3 months per year in the future years. The only member to dissent was the Irish Congress of Trade Unions nominee, who did not support any further increase in the state pension age. And indeed, SIPTU is warning, as I said at the outset, that raising the pension age from 2028 they'll make it an issue at the next election. To tell us more, Frank Connolly's head of communications with SIPTU. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Clem.
That's just basically a general overview of what's going on. You might outline for people about raising the pension age. What is the proposal specifically?
The proposal in the Pensions Commission report is to gradually increase the pension age from 66 to 67 in quarterly phases from 2028, with the final phase of that being reached in 2031, when the age will then go to 67. So in 2028, it will go to 66 and a quarter, etc., etc., up to 2031. And then it will continue to increase in phases until it reaches the pension age of 68 by 2039. So you're talking about something that effectively has pushed the can down the road. If you remember in the 2020 election, general election, there was a very, very strong campaign in which SIPTU was involved with other organisations in the Stop 67 campaign to stop the planned increase of the pension age to 67 years from January this year. And the governments deferred that and then eventually repealed the legislation that was allowing for that to happen and set up this commission. And you also mentioned there was only one of the commission members that opposed the increase in the pension age, and that was the nominee from the Irish Council of Trade Unions, who is a SIPTU person, Ethel Buckley, the Deputy General Secretary of SIPTU.
And indeed, its General Secretary, Patricia King, was quoted on this point saying that Congress has never denied the challenge population ageing represents to the public finances if no action is taken. She said, however, the 2011 Pensions Act, which we're talking about, put Ireland on course to have the highest pension age in the OECD in 2028. It went far too fast, she says, and forced workers at 65 to sign on, putting them at risk of poverty at the end of a long working life. She says Congress is pleased. The Commission has heard and agreed with us on this. But Frank, having said all of that, whether it's SIPTU's or a Congress's view in regards to this, nobody is in any doubt that the General Social Insurance Fund that pays for this is in deep difficulty and going to be in deeper difficulty going forward.
Well, of course, we did have what was called a rainy day fund, and actually a social insurance and pension fund built up until it was raided following the financial crash and is now empty. Everybody knows that the population is ageing and that there will be a requirement for a more robust pension system and social insurance system over the decades to come. However, we have questioned whether the projections of the Commission are in fact justified in terms of the financial pressures that are coming down the tracks. And we actually believe that the savings that are to be made from raising the pension age are actually quite limited. There have been reports commissioned by the same department which commissioned the Pensions Commission report, the Department of Social Protection, to show that the financial situation is still very open to question, and the report itself clearly didn't look at what's likely to happen if there is even a modest economic growth and the effect of that on pension sustainability over the next decade. But those are financial projections that you can question. The reality is, and you just said it earlier, Clem, most countries in Europe have not gone anywhere near reaching the pension age that we're talking about within the next 5 years. And more importantly, there still are serious problems with people who are forced to retire at the age of 65, who won't be entitled to their pension until the age of 66 at the moment, and then in 5 years' time or 7 years' time, it will be 68. We have called for an end to a situation where people are forced to retire, what's called mandatory retirement, at 65. And instead, we're arguing that people should be allowed but not compelled to stay in work, because some people, obviously for physical reasons, are not able to work beyond 65, having worked all their lives. And we're arguing that this, which actually is a recommendation in the Pensions Commission, that this be legislated for immediately, because there are tens of thousands of workers who are still facing approaching a pension age, a retirement age of 65, and who are expected to wait almost 2 years before they are entitled to their state pension.
Well, the state pension, by the way, is currently, the maximum contributory pension is currently €248.30 a week, but increases in the weekly rate are dependent upon the minister, and that, and we expect at least a €5 a week increase tomorrow. Recommended by this report is that PRSI contributions will rise for everyone in the medium term, with self-employed people first to feel the pinch, at their rate rising from 4% to 10% of earnings, and the exemption from payroll side contributions for earnings of those aged 66 and over, the Commission says should be removed, as should the exemption from PRSI of private and public sector occupational pension payments it recommends. What's SIPTA's reaction to that? PRSI being applied to the pension?
Firstly, for those with fewer than 40 years' contributions, the Commission actually proposes to increase the lifetime pension incomes by in excess of the PRSI payment. So to take an example, a person earning 30,000 and working one extra year up to 66, the PRSI payment made during that is about 1,200. But in fact, the additional pension income per year from the extra year's contribution is 320. So it's not clear, firstly, how many people will be affected by this. And in fact, we've argued that the proposal that additional contributions tied to additional PRSI payments, should only be introduced on new entrants. No one currently working over the age of 65 should be affected by this proposal. But in reality, it means that in less than 4 years, the additional payment from the additional 1 year working exceeds the PRSI payment at the age of 66. So it's a bit more complicated than that, and it doesn't affect as many people as might have been, as might have first thought this when they read the pension.
Okay, and Frank, finally, like we must accept the reality, and you know, the elephant in the room, I've already referred to it. The social insurance fund is grossly inadequate to address the pension situation going forward. We have one of the youngest populations in Europe. This is the bottleneck that's ahead of us down the road, and it's all predicated on proper economic recovery, and that recovery would be consistent.
Well, I mean, as we've said, firstly, raising the pension age is not going to make a huge difference to them. There is an issue and a challenge with the PRSI, but the figures don't stack up. Raising the pension age, even in 2028, is going to lead to one thing, and that is a political campaign around the time of the next election and perhaps the election after that, where people are not happy that they don't get their pension entitlement as they thought they would get, in many cases.
I understand that point, Frank.
But we know that, and so therefore I'm saying is that this thing needs to go back to the table again, because the financial situation will not be resolved by increasing the pension age, and there is also at the same time, and you're right, a need to build up a social insurance fund. And that social insurance fund has to be built up in various ways. And in fact, the Pension Commission proposed that it would involve increases in PRSI contributions by employers, by self-employed, and by workers. So there's more than two ways to skin a cat, I think, in this situation. What we're saying is that it should be done cleverly and strategically over time, but you don't punish people who are coming close to their retirement age by jumping up that
and
age.
That point, and
more difficult.
That point is well taken. And if I might mix the metaphors from your own skinning the cat, much of it seems like moving the chairs on the Titanic. I'm not talking about the point you just made, but in terms, we know that the ratio of those in the workforce who are in effect supporting those who are on pensions is going to decline dramatically over the next couple of decades, where we'll only have, I think, one worker for every four people receiving pensions. So,
and in fact, that situation already exists in countries across Europe which have a lower pension age. So how is it that the Germans and the Dutch and the Danes who see our other countries across Europe who have a worsening situation when it comes to that ratio and demographics of older people to those in the workforce haven't increased their pension age? And if they're doing so, are doing much more slowly than we are here.
All right, on that point, and we'll hear much more on this topic, by the way, on this afternoon's magazine programme between 2 and 3, that's Kildare Focus, with Ciara Plunkett and Ciara Noble. They'll be discussing further this whole issue around pensions. Meanwhile, Head of Communications with SIPTA, Frank Connolly, as SIPTA warns that raising the pension age from 2028 and it will make it an issue at the next election. I have no doubt whatsoever about that as we await budget developments tomorrow. Frank, thank you for coming on Kildare Today with us this morning.
Thanks, Sam.
All right, good morning to you. We appreciate that. The Mayor of Kildare is up next. We'll be talking about a public consultation on the future of the harbour field in Maynooth. And also we'll be heading up Sallins Way as regards the failure to complete cycling and walking infrastructure could endanger school-going children, warns a local councillor.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. KFC.
Okay, happy birthday to Michael Mullins from all the Mullins family in Naas. Usk is just near the walls of Kilgowan, says a listener, in regards to where that search is commencing today. Simon Campbell says, yes, we have a female bishop, which is actually Pat's story that you mentioned. And we had a female preacher as well, who is now in Gishel Parish. That would be over in County Offaly. The Catholic Church discriminates against over 70% of its members, says JJ Power, former Green Party councillor. How are you doing, JJ? It discriminates against all women. It discriminates against people living together without the benefit of matrimony. It discriminates against the children of such relationships. It discriminates against women, against people who are in second marriages if their first power spouse is still alive. It discriminates against all gay and lesbian people. Finally, it discriminates against its own clergy by not allowing them to get married. Yes. Now, JJ, you know my position, and everybody knows my position on religion, having none, being, you know, of an atheist persuasion. And indeed, I'm no fan of the Catholic Church in terms of its practices in relation to the way it treated women and children in institutions over hundreds of years. But in terms of the issues we talk about, of not allowing women priests, not allowing divorce, not agreeing with contraception, not agreeing with people who are gay and lesbian, that is the rules of that organisation. That's not I'm not saying I don't for a second agree with them, but those are the rules within the Catholic Church. And therefore, if you want to be a member of the Catholic Church, you agree to abide by those rules. If you don't like any of those rules, you are free to leave. I'm just offering that perspective in that kind of thing. We have more messages coming in. I'll get to those in a minute.
Now, Kildare County Council is proposing to carry out works at Harbourfield in Maynooth, and joining us to discuss this is the Mayor of Kildare and, of course, Councillor for the Clane Maynooth MD, Nisha O'Carroll. Good morning, Nisha.
Good morning, Ciara.
I guess beginning, Nisha, with the construction of a new feature playground, which I'm sure many parents in Maynooth will be very delighted to hear.
Yeah, so I suppose just to give a little bit of context first, Ciara, the Harbourfield of Maynooth is situated in the centre of Maynooth, in the heart of Maynooth. And it was handed over by the Duke of Leinster to the people of Maynooth some time ago, I think probably about 20 years ago now. And obviously, Kildare County Council are holding that as trustees. So, in the interim, what's happened since it's been handed over was we were able to construct the playground of Maynooth. There is an AstroTurf pitch there, and there's also a basketball court. And what we're trying to do is to create a modern public landscape that's welcoming to everybody. So what we're trying to achieve is something similar to the People's Park in Dunleary, if people have ever been there. Mm-hmm. So it's not a huge amount of space, but a lot can be done with that amount of space. And as you mentioned there, a modern, new, progressive playground that has accessibility measures.
And Nisha, would there still would that be getting rid of the current one altogether? It would just still be one playground.
It would be one large playground, yeah, to replace the one that's there already. Now, I suppose a fear that is there and something we're going to have to address, and we're in the middle of public consultation at the moment, and it is very important that people actually do submit their opinions and how they see and how they would like to see this progress. It's on consult.kildareco.ie, and if you just search, if you even just Google Maynooth Harbourfield consultation, it'll come up. But it's important that there is, let's say, a temporary playground or something that's there for children while this is being constructed. And it's important to note as well that there aren't funds there yet to actually construct and complete the project. So once this goes through public consultation and the final plans are drawn up, then obviously the council will look for the funds from the department or from government. So obviously a large playground is one of it, a new modern accessible and progressive playground is one. Then we have also a skate park, another gym, an area for picnic benches, etc., and a sensory garden. So there's going to be a lot in it. It's going to, I suppose, it's kind of trying to address the needs of all age demographics in the town, particularly if you look at, you know, teenagers in particular. The playgrounds are there for people up to, or for kids up to maybe 10, 11, 12 at a push. And after that, if you look around country, there
yeah,
is very
it's
few.
Difficult for to get amenities for teenagers in particular. But Nisha, we know you've mentioned kind of the main points that Kildare County Council are proposing. Is there anything in particular you see yourself as Mayor of Kildare and also a councillor in the area that's needed in terms of Harbour Field?
I think what is there at the moment and isn't included in the plans, and I'll certainly be making a submission on it, is a basketball court and making sure that there's an AstroTurf pitch there as well. Basketball has absolutely just taken off in Maynooth and around the county, and it is that other form of kind of sport and outlet for teenagers and for kids and older people as well, and it's really, really taken off. To my surprise, it's one of the sports I never played, but it's amazing how much it has taken off. And certainly I think that's something that we should look at, not just from a Harbour Field point of view, but certainly around the county when we're looking at developing, we'll say, parks or playgrounds, etc., to ensure that we do have the likes of basketball courts, and particularly AstroTurf, because with AstroTurf, you know, it's not just soccer, you can have guy, you can do volleyball, you can do multitudes of sports, or even just tag, etc., for kids when the weather is bad, you can't really go on the grass and the muck, etc.
Okay, and just to let our listeners know that submissions need to be made before 4:30 on, it's a Tuesday, the 16th of November, as Nisha did mention, and also that any person may, within 4 weeks from the date of the notice, apply to Onboard Planola for a screening determination as to whether the development would be likely to have significant effects on the environment. So, Mayor of Kildare, Nisha O'Carroll, Fianna Fáil Councillor for Clane Maynooth Municipal District, thanks for the time.
Yes, Thanks, Kira.
Nisha agus Kira on Shin. Just before we head now to Salins to find out what's going on there, catching up on some of your other messages. Kai Clem, just contacting you with regard to Bank of Ireland, Manus Drevin. I'll come back to that in a few minutes, maybe in the second hour. We're going to be talking up to councillors from the four areas who've been impacted by the closure of those Bank of Ireland branches on Friday. Another says, Joe says, Clem, I'll never see the pension if they keep messing around with it. I'm 63 next month. Doesn't affect our millionaire politicians. Nothing but a shower of crooks and gangsters, says Joe. Ah, Joe, why don't you get off the fence and tell it like it really is? Could you ask Nisha why Maynooth will not have a proper playground when this development is completed? Also, the playground will be closed. No, I'm not sure what that's about. Clem, because I've just been listening to what he told Kira there, and it seems like there will be a huge improvement in the playground facility. Both sets of lights on the two roundabouts at the Castle Dermot Junction for the M9 have not been working for the past few weeks. With the dark nights, it's an accident waiting to happen, and could you raise this on air, says Mary. Two sets of traffic lights at the Castle Dermot Junction and the M9. Why haven't they been working for weeks? I don't know. There is no escape from the Catholic Church. You can never leave, says a listener. You can. Clem, correction. Catholics are no longer permitted to leave the church. You can be a lapsed Catholic, but always on their books regarding the rules. They should be changed, as Tom T. But you can leave. They might insist that you're a member. But listen, if I join a local club, the club can say as much as they like, yeah, Clem Ryan, you're still a member of the club. And I'll say, no, I'm not. I'm not paying the fees. I'm not paying the religious dues that the collection. I'm not subscribing to any of the collections. And I'm no longer a member. You can say what you like, but I know the point that those listeners are making.
A warning has been sent out to Kildare County Council and Transport Infrastructure Ireland that the failure to complete cycling and walking infrastructure along the Salins bypass could endanger school-going children in the future. That's the warning given by Bill Clear, Social Democrats councillor on the Naas Municipal District, and he joins me now. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, listeners.
Bill,
Thank you.
Is there any plans to sort this out? Because we've had you on the programme before and you've talked about the dangers involved here with this new bypass and the fact that there wasn't a walking track or a cycling track completed here. What's the latest?
Latest, there is no plan. This is my last ditch effort before the school opens in December. So just to be clear, on one end of the bypass we have the school for the kids it's been built, it's in Millennium Park, it's 1,000 children. On the other we have Salins, you know, and then about maybe 80% of the walking, pedestrian and cycling is fine, but then it just stops and shoves people onto a country road, which is incredibly busy, particularly around school times. So I'm really kind of worried, and I don't like saying these things, and I hope to God nothing ever happens, you know. But I'm worried because I went there. Look, just before the interest, I'll go out there this morning just to see, and there were people going on bikes going onto the motorway and continuing across the motorway intersection into Millennium Park. They obviously are working there, but the school opens in December. They've nowhere to go. I sent you a couple of pictures. You know, I see people in wheelchairs on the country road there at Osbastown Road. You know, people walking on the verge of the grass, and that's just on a leisure walk, you know, and the wheelchair guy wasn't, he was going home. And the TII, $111 million was spent on this project, and TII just said, oh, there's nothing to do with us, you know, and I've contacted people on the board, it's TII, nothing, and it's just been left a pile of rubble. And the irony of it is, there was a road there, the old Osbastown Road, and while it was going on, I said, just leave this old road there, because the old road will actually work for, you know, we can adapt the old road. And they dug it all up, even though I said to them, and says, oh no, we'd be afraid anybody might have illegal campus. But so they just dug the whole road up, and this would have got us over a hump for now. But I am genuinely worried, I really am. 1,000 children will be going to that school.
Yeah, and look, I'm sure people at this stage now have driven along that new Sallins bypass and they've seen the road that we've been talking about and the cycle lane, and I can't for the life of me understand why a cycle lane will be put in beside the road and then just all of a sudden stop and lead into a country road. And that's what's happening here, is that people are walking thinking that it will connect them to the Millennium Road when it doesn't. They have to come off then the cycle track or the designated walking track and use a back road to get back up onto the Millennium Ring Road. What is the solution here then? Like, obviously you want this cycle track to continue, but are you getting any feedback or any sort of notifications here from the council or from the TII that this will happen?
Yeah, no, and it is actually the CII, Transport Infrastructure Ireland, oversee everything, you know. No, I'm getting nothing back from them whatsoever, but I've come up with a temporary solution that will get us over a hump over the next, when the school opens, until they properly design this entire junction, because that needs entirely, is, if people know it, Old Bridge Station, which is across the road from Super Value and Sallins, if they come down along there, and the scout hut's in there, and they put in a new pass all the way down to the canal bank, and then they'll head towards in the next direction. It's a muddy path. And so I've asked the council to talk to Water Rivers Ireland to put in a 200 metre temporary surface. It's not a big cost, it's quite minimal cost. And I've asked them, will they do that? And this is part of this kind of process which I'm trying to do to highlight. And look, I see this happening all over the place. You know, money has to be spent, really fast, and they spend it on rubbish. You know, and plenty of my family members are engineers, and I'm constantly having, you know, it's black or white with them, and say, look, you're engineers, you sort this out. I'm not an engineer, you know, sort this out, do it properly, finish it, do it right the first time. I find it frustration. I'm doing this out of desperation. My last ditch is the school opens, as I said, and what's going to actually happen, and people who don't care about, say, walking and cycling, whatever, all the cars are going to drive to Millennium Park. They're all going to do it. The ring road's going to be blocked up because there's only facility in this school for about 20 cars to drive in and drive out.
Okay.
You know, so people are, the whole ring road is going blocked up, which then will back up the motorway. You know, as people come that direction, the 9A will be blocked up with traffic. So
we'll leave it there for this morning, Bill, but keep in touch with us. And if you get any response from Transport Infrastructure Ireland, do let us know. That Social Democrats councillor on the Naas Municipal District, Bill Clear.
Can I just clarify one point with Bill? Bill, did you say people are cycling across the motorway?
Yeah, they're going across the interchange 9A, right across it. If you've even done it in a car, there's Naas North, there's Naas South, there's Naas. There's people are like going, where the hell do I go? And they're going across. I've seen an older man on a scooter heading off right across. You have a picture of it, and heading across the 9A, going towards Millennium Park. So it's cars whizzing everywhere. I have to get up to speed, and there's everybody going across. Any Saturday, Sunday, you'll see cycles going across, because it just ends. It's nuts, and it's going to get worse with the school.
Sounds like a fatality waiting to happen, I have to say, from that perspective.
Yeah, I don't like to talk about that. I'm even afraid to say it.
I have to say it, because if that's what's happening, where people, you know, are engaged because they've no other choice in terms of that behaviour, it is at least a very serious accident waiting to happen with potential fatalities. Bill Clear, thank you on that, and thanks, Hon.